Yeah, my name's Justin, I'm an addict. I was on the way here, I was thinking about what I was going to share about, and I was thinking, you know, I used to sort of, when I was thinking about how I got recovery, how I came into recovery, and it was all around this area where I used to use towards the end of my using. And I remember sort of how I got recovery was the last time I got arrested, and you know, I'm not going to go into all about my using, but I'll just, it's sort of indicative about where my using had took me on my last sort of, my last few days. And I got arrested outside Charing Cross Booths for nicking eyeliner, basically. I used to shoplift to pay for my habit, and when I used to shoplift, I always used to nick like silly things, but loads of them. So I'd nick like toothpaste, but lots of it, or you know, ovulation testing kits, but lots of them. So just enough to get like £4.50 squares with someone usually. And then I got caught because basically what happened was, I went into Boots and the policeman was on his way home at the bus stop and he saw me go in, and he said in his statement, like, when he saw me walk in, he knew I was going to shoplift. And you know, and it wasn't because I had like a bag on my back or I was wearing a mask, it was just the way I looked. You know, I was about 8 stone, I was, you know, I was sort of, I had a black eye, I looked like a mess, you know, and it was, as soon as he saw me, he knew. So when I got out there, he grabbed me, and for some reason, I thought to myself, I know what I'll do, I'll find my way out of this. And you know, I tried to fight him and I just got bent up and threw in the back of a van. And you know, and ended up getting nicked. And I got to the station, I like to say it ended there, but it actually got worse when I got to the station, because they sort of emptied out my pockets, and in my pockets was a dummy. And because I sucked my thumb and I used to suck a dummy, it's not so anyway, but I had this dummy in my pocket, and one of the homeless person unit was there, and she knew me from because when I used to use, I was always sort of waking up on the streets, and the homeless person unit were waking me up, and I knew this woman, this policewoman, Vanessa. And what they'd done is that night they'd nicked all the beggars, so all the beggars were in the custody desk and I was there, and they were all like, "Hey Justin, what's happening?" You know what I mean? And I was like, "Hiya." And then she seen me with this dummy, and she just said, "Oh, see, you're still sucking a dummy," and they all laughed, and I got really offended, you know what I mean? I thought she's taking the piss out of me in front of all my people. And then, you know what I mean? And, and she's South African, and for some reason I started calling her Zola Bud, for some reason. Which, if you don't know, is a South African drummer that ran for Britain in the 80s. So I don't know why I called that anyway, but I got another charge of racial aggravated section 5 to go with me, assaulting a policeman to go with me, shoplifting. And then, you know, I spent a night in the cells. And I was used to getting nicked for shoplifting and silly things, and I was used to just getting bailed and getting, you know, telling off, and you know, I've never really done much jail time or anything like that. But my solicitor said to me, "No," he said, "you're going to go to jail for this." And I went to court. To cut a long story short, I went to court to give him my pleas, and I thought, right, I've got to go guilty because it's my word against these police officers. You know, there's all the police officers at the station. There's police officers that nicked me. There's witnesses that saw me getting nicked, saw me try to fight. You know, I'm banged to rights, so I'll just go guilty. So I went in to give me pleas thinking, I know what I'll do, I'll go guilty, get bail, and then, you know, go about my business and deal with it when I get sentenced. And I remember sort of drinking on the way to the on the way to court, and I was going through one of them stages of trying to control my using by swapping one drug for another. So I was going through the stage of drinking cider and smoking heroin, as opposed to smoking crap. And I know that sounds crazy, but I thought I was doing well. Anyway, so I stashed me cider, I had 3 litres of cider, and I stashed half of it outside Bow Street Magistrates, and I had money in my pocket, and I went in there, I thought, right, I'll give me pleas in and I'll go. And I give me pleas in, and the judge was having none of it. He went, "Well, this is obviously a custodial, you know, I'm going to remand you." And I was thinking, oh no, and all I was thinking about was left a litre and half of cider out there, I could have drank that. You know, oh, I've got money in my pocket, I could have scored before I got here, you know, that was all I was thinking. I didn't really think you're going to prison. And I went to the court cells, and I was sat in the court cells, and I'd been in there 7 years earlier. And what had happened is, 7 years earlier, I'd gone to prison for a brief sort of 6 months. And in the meantime, when I got out, I'd gone back to Manchester, where I'm from. I'd sort of got my life in order in a way, but not really. You know, I'd carried on using, but I'd sort of kept a facade of like normality going. And then obviously 7 years later, I'd ended up back in the same court, the judge sending me down, going back to the prison I'd left earlier. And I just thought, I've ended up back here. And it was like I could see ahead, you know, the next 7 years and 7 years after that. And I remember just sort of asking for help. And it wasn't, you know, when I used to use, you always ask for help, don't you? Or if you, you know, get me bail and I'll do this, or get the dealer to hurry up and I'll do that. I just asked for a bit of guidance, really. Because I thought, I can't carry on. And by, you know, a strange twist of fate, the judge called me back up and he said, I'm not going to remand you. I'm going to give you bail. But when you come back in front of me, I will see that you're sorting out your drug problem and your drink problem, because that's obviously why you're here. So I thought, right, you know, straight away I thought touch and, you know, all that sort of, give me help. I went out the window and I ran straight to my cider and drank that. But, you know, the seed had been sown. You know, from going, I need help, to 10 minutes later, say, you better go to a detox, it sort of stuck with me. So I went to, my first experience to try to get clean were a bit of a joke. I went to a place in Ladbroke Grove and she gave me a drink and drug diary, you know, and she said, fill it in and try and cut down every day. You know what I mean? So the next day, you smoke 10 rocks and drink 3 litres of cider. The next day, smoke 9 and drink 2. Do you know what I mean? So I thought, right, yeah, right, this is well going to work. And what I did was, the mad thing is, I didn't fill it in all week. I went back, and on the way there, the next week, I filled it in. And I made it look like I was cutting down. I just filled it in less and less each day. I handed it to her, and she went, oh, you're doing really well. And I left there thinking, I'm doing really well. You know? She's just so mad. Not thinking, I just made all that up, it's nonsense. So anyway, that wasn't going anywhere, and by luck I ended up at a meeting in Paddington with a guy called, I'm breaking his hand in a minute, everyone knows it, Dave Chalmers, and he got me into detox, you know, and he's one of the stars, superstars of an AI, I think, anyway, and he got me into a detox, and I remember going into this detox still with the sort of thing in my head, I'm only here to avoid prison, try to put all the a big front on, sort of thing. And I remember, like, you know, being in detox, as the drugs sort of came out of me and I sort of got a clear head and reality started to kick in, you know, that skeleton looking back at me in the mirror was me. That bin bag with 3 items in was everything I owned, and it was a bit scary for the first time. It was like really scary. And what happened was that I went into I was sat in the TV room watching someone on the TV, and these people came in, turned the telly off and said, we're gonna have a meeting in here. And I was like, fucking not, I'm watching telly. Like, well, we are. And I was like, well, I'm not moving. And I'm like, well, good, stay. So I stayed, and it was fine, we wanted to. And it was NA. And I've never heard of NA, really. I'd heard something of him. I've been to one meeting, I think, but I didn't really know anything about him, if I was honest, because I'd never really sort of looked into him. And they, I remember sort of sitting there, being dead resentful of the fact they turned the telly off and these people were here and they were talking about all this nonsense and I weren't interested. And the guy did started sharing, and he talked about his life, his using, and a lot of what he spoke about was like what I'd done. And then he spoke about his life now, and it was a million miles away from where my life was. And I thought to myself, you know, I'd love to have a life like that. And, you know, and I looked at him and he looked alright. He didn't look like he was dead loaded or anything like that. He just looked like he was a guy who looked normal and nice and happy. And that was the main thing, he looked happy. And then the guy that took the meeting, I said to him, he was talking about, you know, these key rings and, you know, date of time and blah, blah. And I said to him, how clean are you? And he said, I'm 9 years. And I was like, fucking, what did you do, just smoke weed? And he said, I thought, you know what I mean? Just, you must do something. He went, you know? I sort of said to him, how did you get 9 years clean? And he said, it's a date at a time. By working his programme, you know, going to meetings and what we spoke about. And that made me think that, you know, 9 years, I thought, you can't fluke 9 years. You can't, you know what I mean? Even people that aren't addicts don't go 9 years without using. Do you know what I mean? Let alone an addict. And he was an addict, because I could tell when he spoke that he wasn't pretending. So, do you know what I mean? So I thought, right, and there's something in there. So I went from there, I went to rehab, and I remember going into rehab, and I was still this thing in my head thinking, oh, you know what? Because the rehab where I was at, everyone was a lot older than me. You know, I was 26, and everyone was, that average age was sort of 40-odd. And I, 5 minutes, thanks. And I remember thinking, you know, oh, you know, I'm a bit too young for this. I'd go to meetings, and people would be sharing, like, I used for 20 years, and now I'm a year clean. And I wouldn't hear the year clean. I'd hear that I used for 20 years, and I'd think, well, I've only used for 10. Maybe if I come back when I'm 30, I'll get clean then. Do you know what I mean? There was all that sort of resistance, sort of trying to find differences as well. You know, I was always trying to find differences to sort of make, you know, to think, oh, you know, you're not like these people. Because I remember I was very scared when people said to me, you know, when I first got into meetings, people said to me, just think you never need have to use again. And it was scary, that thought, if I'm honest. You know, I thought, oh, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do when my kids grow up? I get married, I can't even have champagne at the wedding. I remember thinking that, and I hadn't even got any fucking kids. It was just, you know, that whole thing of like never using again, because that's all I'd done for so long, that was all I knew. And the whole idea of, you know, maybe I can use for a bit more and get clean later on, went out of my head one day when I got my 30-day keyring. And I remember what happened is, the sort of the last person that I got a phone call the day I got my 30-day keyring, and the girl that, the last person I'd ever used with, a girl that was 21, she died that day. She OD'd, you know, and they found the body, and I got a phone call, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. And it just made me realise that, you know, what makes you think you've got another few years going out there and using, you know, and it's not about that at all. And I thought, Jesus Christ, you know, that could have been me. Maybe, you know, it should have. So I started to listen in meetings. I stopped sort of being resistant and listening for differences. I started to listen for, you know, the similarities. And I followed the suggestion. Someone said to me, take a commitment. I remember, like, thinking, right, someone said, take a commitment. And I went to this meeting. They were looking for tea, you know, tea commitment. So I said, yeah, I'll do that. And when I first started doing the tea commitment, I used to nip the tea and coffee, bring it to the meeting. I'd dump it on the side. I'd make myself a brew, leave it on the side, and then at the end of the meeting I'd say to the secretary, oh, you get some people to help me tidy up. Let other people tidy up, and I'd go and wait outside and have a cigarette while they tidied up. And that was me doing commitment. And then I remember going to a meeting one day, and the guy came up to me and he said, what do you want a tea or a coffee? I was like, oh, a coffee. And he made me a coffee and he did it with a smile, and I just thought, you know what, that's what I need to be doing, you know, that's me. And you know, in NA, I always say this, it is a learning curve. You know, when I came in here, I wasn't dead honest. I didn't know about being honest and open. And, you know, I didn't know anything about that. All I'd known from using is how to lie and manipulate and whatnot. So it was a learning curve, and I've learned a lot in NA. You know, and that's just back. They said, keep coming back. You know, I did. I kept coming to the meetings. You know, I took a commitment. I got a sponsor. You know, I sponsor someone now, and that was a bit of an eye-opener. You know, because of that, my life has got a lot better. You know, I've got my family in my life and all these wonderful things that, you know, I'm at uni and I'm doing things that I always wanted to do. Because I remember when I first got clean, I was at rehab and I spoke to my mum on the phone, and she was like, you know, what are you doing? And I said, I'm at rehab and it's 12 step. And then she went up, she looked on the internet, she rang me back, she said, when are you getting to step 9? And I was like, right, yeah. So, yeah. So, when are you coming back up here to make amends to me, you know? Right, but you know, but I did, you know, eventually, not straight away, but 18 months down the line, I did make amends to my dad, you know, and other people in my life that I sort of pissed out of when I used, you know, and my life just kept getting better and better, you know, and I've got a life today. I didn't really have that when I was using. I had like an existence. It was just a messy existence. And today, you know, I've got a real life, and it's because of NA. You know, without NA. I walked here tonight and it's mad because I walked through Charing Cross substation and I seen lads in there in the sleeping bags. Do you know what I mean? I see people waiting out here already, waiting for the night shell to open when it's not but 3 hours before it opens, and they're already across the road waiting. And that's exactly where I was, you know. And I'm picking up 3 years clean tonight, and it's it's been a good 3 years. And it, you know, when you know everyone who's clean will know things happen to you in life. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say every day's been wonderful. My mum got cancer last year, and it was a nightmare. You know, she went through chemo, threats to me and all that, and I had to go and visit her. I was at uni, and I was back and forth to Manchester, because it was a bit touch and go. And, you know, that was a shit time, but it would have been a lot worse if I'd been using, you know, and it would have been a lot worse for her if I'd been using it, and it would have been, poor me, mum's got cancer, I need another £9 off someone, do you know what I mean? And it wasn't, I was able to go there, and she got through it. Do you know what I mean? And it was. I was grateful for NA because I was there to help her get through it in a small way. You know, I was even able to, you know, help her out financially, you know, lend the money and all that. You know, still let her pay me back. I'm not that well, but you know, I was able to do that for her. And it was a difficult time. I got through it, and my life, you know, today is, like I said, it is a million times better than it was, and that is because of NA. You know, and I've not had a lot of. I've not had a lot of clean years in my life, but I've certainly had a lot of life in my clean years, and I'll leave it there. Thank you.